wisdom, and the wisdom of enough, or the wisdom of not too much. We could name it either one of those. The wisdom of not too much, Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. The wisdom of not too much. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. I wish my modern Bible translators would take heed to that. And I quit making new Bibles and changing it in Bible of the Week Club and over 250 versions now. And they change their own versions all the time so they can continue to sell them. And it's become a money-making thing. And a lot of things are changing those things. So he's the King James. Verse 7. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me not them before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of the Lord, my God, in vain. Accuse not a servant to his master, lest he curse thee, and thou be found guilty. There is a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that is pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk a little bit about not too much. Father, thank you for the word of God. We thank you for all the passages we have tonight to read and study. And Lord, I think this lesson is very practical and very important for us as Americans. I pray tonight that you'd help us to change our thinking, to renew our minds, to see your way. Help us to be humble. Help us if there's something in our lives that isn't right, if something we aren't doing scriptural, that might be what we're like and what we like and what we feel comfortable in. May we yield to the Spirit of God. May tonight we see life as we should and with clarity and as you'd have us see it. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a passage in Proverbs and it says that the eyes of men are never full. The eyes of men are never full. This week, yesterday, was a gigantic lotto. And you don't know that because none of you played it. And because you're good at math. And you understand that a lot more is taken in than is gone out. And they massively increase when somebody doesn't win because they made a bunch of money. And then they take a zillion of it out to give to schools and taxes and everything else because they make a lot more than they get in there. But we had the big lottery. And people went crazy and bought a bunch of tickets. So they can get the $580 million. I think it is. I was just trying to win $1 million, so win my tickets. But I don't think it's tickets, is it? I'm trying to trap you. We go out and you they buy those things. Why? Because they want $580 million. Did you know that $100 million is plenty? Or whatever it was 3 weeks ago, a month ago. Do you know $50 million could get you by? You know. You could probably. How many think you'd get by if you right now got $2 million? You think you'd be fine the rest of your life? All right. How many think you can get by on $1 million the rest of your life? If you're a child, you probably couldn't. By the way, it's not just because you would spend it, because it costs a lot of money and you spend a lot of money in your life. You might be able to though if you're smart and invest wisely and do things right. But Americans don't do that anymore. Why do they go that many more people buy it so they can? You ever think about it? Why do that many more people go out and buy it when their odds are lower, so they can win $580 million instead of $280 million? Because the eyes of men are never full. Why do people make fortunes and then go out and destroy their life? Is it McAfee, the internet security guy? He got in a fight with his neighbor over dogs and killed him and disappeared. And killed his neighbor. He's a millionaire living in a resort somewhere. Why couldn't you just let his dogs bark? Because you're never content. until you really know Christ. And some of the worst crimes that we've ever seen, some of the terrible crimes you hear about are people you say, why did you just ruin everything? You had it made. I remember this Dutch kid who all his parents did is give him millions of dollars to travel all over the world, and he killed two different women, one in Brazil and one in down in just off the coast of South America. I forgot the name of the little island there, Aruba. And this guy, all he did, his parents were just wealthy, and they just let him go mess around his whole life. And yet he couldn't be content. He had to get angry and go kill women. It is the eyes of men are never full, and it is not. It is enough. We don't have that very often. One of the funny stories I ever read when I was not ever read actually. It was a story of Medina, I think it was, but it was how mad the billionaire. So one of the billionaires was what had a view of Lake Washington forever, and one of the other billionaires built. Oh, I think it was a 60,000 square foot house, and put it to the edge of his yard and blocked their view. And this house was so the house was 30,000 or more square feet, but it was two bedrooms. Had an indoor swimming pool, indoor tennis court, indoor everything. And it was just the guy said, I got to spend my money on something basically. And here's these neighbors who have all this stuff, and I'm sure somebody in Haiti would be happy with just a roof over their head. But yet they got they got these mansions, and they just got to do more and more and more because the eyes of men are never full. And matter of fact, sometimes we go too much, and it's a I would never preach this when I'm in Haiti because there's not a lot of temptation for them to see too much. we should get to where we're happy and we have enough. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. It says this, it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in certain riches, but in a living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I want to focus right there. It says, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. God wants us to enjoy things. I don't want you to misunderstand this message. If you don't get this point, you're not going to understand the rest of the message. God gives us things to enjoy, but not too much. You can enjoy them a lot, but don't get too much because you quit enjoying. Rich people who are filthy, filthy rich eventually become unhappy. You can get too much. I remember one of the strangest conversations we were out in the country with in Haiti with a translator and three other guys. And I don't know how we got on the subject. We got the subject of restaurants in America. And I remember trying to explain to them a buffet. And you understand, they're hungry all the time. They're starving. They're skinny guys. I was the biggest guy in Haiti. And so I'm trying to explain. I said, we got these restaurants, and they're called buffets. And, you know, everything I say, I have to say, and then he translates it. And I said, in a buffet, you can eat as much as you want. And whenever he didn't understand me, he just stared at me blankly. And he says, well, what do you mean? As much as comes on your plate? I said, no. I said, they just had the food up there, and you go back as many times as you want, and you fill up your plate and eat as much as you want until you can't eat anymore. And he just looks at me. He doesn't translate it. And he says, why would the restaurant do that? I said, well, the food isn't the best food in the world. And he says, so? I said, yeah, it's kind of hard to understand. I said, and you can go back. He says, why do you stop eating? I said, because you get too full. And he says, why wouldn't you wait till you're hungry again? I said, well, I guess you could do that. And he told me, so he translates all these guys, and they all look, and they go, and then they start talking. And he says, they don't believe you. I said, well, it is kind of ridiculous, isn't it? And he said, if they had those in Haiti, the people would get there when it opens. They wouldn't leave until it closed. I said, well, I've seen some people who eat there who look like they do that. But I said, it hurts if you eat too much. And he said, really? I said, yeah, it does. It hurts. It really hurts bad. It hurts. And he says, that's weird. It was a weird conversation. How many of you are eating too much? All right, if you're not raising your hand, you're a liar. And Whenever I see somebody eat too much, I always give them a big hug just to torture them. You give me a hug, and it's kind of strange because we have this ability. We have the ability to eat too much. I am a plate cleaner. I don't know where it got in my head. Somewhere along the way, I just can't leave food on the plate, and I don't know why. And I don't know. I would love to say my parents taught me that as a kid. I don't know where it happened. Just somewhere along the way, if it's on my plate, I feel like I have to finish it, and. Sometimes I shouldn't finish it. Sometimes I'm dying. Sometimes I'm like, oh man, two more bites. I don't say that. I just think that. And then I go, one more bite. And I finish it and then, you know, roll away. And I don't know why, but it hurts. And it's too much and it's not good. It is bad for you. God made an incredible thing called a stomach that expands an incredible amount. And you shouldn't make it expand all the way. This is not a balloon that you want to inflate to its limit, okay? But we do that, and we have too much, and I think it's bad. But God gave us things to enjoy, but not too much. Look at our text here. Look at verse 8. This is Proverbs 30 in verse 8. Remove from far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to live in Haiti. I don't like being hungry all the time. Now, God called me there to go there, but I've been to poor countries. I've seen poor people, and it's not easy having hunger pains. If I go and fast for a day, don't get between me and the fridge when my fast is over. I mean, because we get hungry. Man, I was fasting a while back, and I was hungry, and I went to Costco. Oh, don't go to Costco when you're fasting. Every sample of the world, and it was best samples on Earth's history day. I mean, it was samples. And I don't know what happened. I had this sign on me that said, I'm fasting, because every sample lady chased me down. You got to try this. This is the best pizza roll you've ever had. Smell this. I mean, it was terrible. And I don't want to be in famine and poverty. He says, don't feed me with poverty. Don't give me too little. But he says, don't give me too much. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? By the way, eat slow. It's good for you. You know, when you're, and I'm preaching to myself here. I've been in such a hurry for so many years that eating is business for me. I got something to do. I'm going to finish it and move on to the next thing. And I go to town. And you ever try to talk to me when I'm eating? I grunt. You know, I'm not talkative. You want to talk? Oh, how's it going? Fine. But you know what? What you find happen is you eat too much and your stomach hurts and you have digestion problems. Take your time. Chew your food. It's amazing. It tastes better when you chew it and it digests better. And he says, give me food convenient for me. Give me enough. Give me the right amount. And you don't know that if you scarf it down too fast. And it's good. It says, food convenient for me, verse 9, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and still and take the name of the Lord my God in vain. Do you understand? Too poor can cause problems, and too much can cause problems. I'm going to talk about the too much tonight and to moderate. The wisdom, not too much. Understanding, God says, enjoy good things. First of all, I'm going to give you four things that we should have and enjoy, but not too much. Number one is rich things. Rich things. Turn to Proverbs 24. This is not going to sound rich to you because you're very wealthy. We're all wealthy in America. Proverbs 24, verse 13. My son, eat thou honey. Understand, honey is a delicacy in most of the world. You can't, in history, well, honey's hard to get. You know, you got to go raid, you know, ask Winnie the Pooh. Honey is hard to get. And you got to fight bees. And there's not a lot of honey in a hive. Now, we have massive honitoriums that make these things and make them. And so we can get it. But it's still pretty spendy. Honey is not real cheap. By the way, honey, the Bible says to eat honey is good for you. If you want your kids have a sore throat, you have a coughing problem at night, try honey. Don't try this stuff without calling it. Don't try all that stuff. Try honey. It works. And honey is a wonderful thing that not everybody could get. And he says, my son, eat honey. Enjoy it. Proverbs chapter, let's see, it's, where are we at? 24:13. My son, eat thou honey because it is good. God want us to enjoy honey? Yes. And the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. So here's the Bible commanding you to eat honey. And I think you should, by the way, because it's good for you. Better sweetener than the sugar you eat, too, by the way. The sugar you eat, the way... Yeah, never mind. I've been able to get a nutrition. I will lose all Baptists. And so Proverbs 25. So eat honey, it's good for you. Proverbs 25. Sugar cane is not bad for you. But the way we make sugar is bad for us. Proverbs 25. Verse 16. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled and therewith and vomit it. Can you eat too much honey? Yeah. Proverbs 25 and verse 27. It is not good to eat much honey, for men to search out their own glory is not good. Nice things. I'll save it for food. I'll talk about food is one of the things we get to later. But honey is a symbol of a rich things, nice things, delicacies, spoiled things. I want to say this. Don't always eat your favorite foods. Don't always get everything you want. Don't always buy whatever clothes you want. I'm telling you, you will not enjoy them. The people who enjoy things are people who get treats. Does that make sense? People who get treats enjoy it. People who spoil themselves all the time eventually are miserable when they're not spoiling themselves, and the things they spoil themselves with aren't very good anymore. You take a kid, and I've illustrated this before, you take a kid and you start him off and give him a nice car when he's 16. You're going to have a kid who's not going to like his cars. You don't give a kid an Audi or a BMW when he's 16. Give him a Rambler, a Granada. Give him a Pinto. That way he'll pray more. And give him something that when he earns his next car, he says, Dad, I'm honest with you. This car is a piece of junk. I'm going to work hard and get my own car. And he goes out and he gets his next car, and it's a Ford Escort, a 1997. He's like, Dad, this car is so much nicer. And you know what? It is nicer to him, and he enjoys it. And then, you know what? When he works harder, he can get another car, and he'll enjoy that. And then someday, if he can go out and get a really nice car, he'll really enjoy that. But you don't spoil yourself. If you eat sweets and ice cream all the time, if you eat delicacies, if you have your favorite meal all the time, if you eat out all the time, eating out is not going to be very good. That went over great. Amen. And by the way, do you know the fast food industry during this last recession went up? It thrived. Yeah, it thrived during everything else going down, but fast food went up because people, it's addicting, and they can't stop. And I'm not against fast food, okay? I'm not against that. I'm just saying, and by the way, some people like fast food better than nice food. But don't spoil yourself. Don't spoil your kids. Don't give your kids candy every single day. Don't give your kids every single game, every single thing they ask for. Let them learn to wait. Let them learn to not have it. Let them learn that they don't get everything. Teach them delayed gratification. It's very important in life because that's going to happen the rest of their life. You're going to have to earn everything the rest of your life. When you teach them they get everything they want just instantly, they're going to be very unhappy when they have to wait for anything. And so rich things, spoiled things, favorite things. For example, vacation. Did you know that if you take too much vacation, you won't enjoy vacation? There's been entire empires. Check the Roman Empire. One of the biggest problems of the Roman Empire is they had too many holidays. They had hundreds of days off a year. And it made a holiday, and they didn't work. And eventually what happened is if you get too much time off, when you have to go to work, it now becomes a burden to go to work. And if you get vacation time, when you get time off, you enjoy it. One day a week is good. and work 6 days and then take a vacation. I think vacations are good. We didn't get one this last year at all, but I think we're going to take one in February. I think vacations are enjoyable when you take them. I think it's good. And I think you should enjoy it, but don't take too many. If you go to the Bahamas and you go to Hawaii and you go to Tahiti and you go to all these places all year round, when you come back to Seattle and have to just settle down and go to work and live your thing and take care of your yard, life becomes mundane. And most of life is just a steady progression and then enjoying looking forward to the good times. Looking forward to the good times. But enjoying every single day. So rich things. Do not have too much, but have some. God's given us things to enjoy. Number two, sleep. Sleep. Let's do Proverbs 6. You know what? Let's go first. God wants you to sleep. Sleep is good. Let's go to Psalms first. Let me do the good. God wants you to sleep. He likes sleep. He says it's good for us. God was refreshed when he rested. And we find in Genesis 1. Psalm 127, it says, verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. And go to Proverbs. So sleep's good. You'll find out if you don't sleep for long enough, you will find out you have issues. I've been there and done that. And Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 23. This is if you live with wisdom. Then thou shalt walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. God made it so we need sleep. Sleep is good. Most people don't sleep well for multiple reasons. And again, I don't have time to get all of them. Number one is magnesium deficiency. But there's other reasons you have sleep problems. It's stress. It's diet. It's worries. It's bad beds. It's a thousand different things that we don't know. They don't sleep well. But we don't sleep well, but God wants us to. You know, when you're doing everything right, did you know you conk out and wake up refreshed? But you know how many people don't sleep all night and wake up all through the night and don't wake up refreshed? Fastest way to get rid of that is work hard during the day, by the way. You sleep better when you work hard. And it does that. But God wants to have sleep, sweet and restful sleep. But let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. Sleep's good, amen? We like sleep. But too much sleep is bad. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little slumber, This is saying, I'm just going to sleep a little bit more. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little fold into the hands of sleep. Show so thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. It is not bad to sleep. It's bad to sleep too much. The Bible says it very specifically. Proverbs chapter 10. It's several lots of verses in Proverbs about sleep. In verse 5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Sleeping at the wrong time. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 13, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Get up. Proverbs 24 and verse 33, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folded into the hands of sleep shows that poverty come upon thee. Can I tell you, I've been in the full spectrum of this thing. I grew up very lazy. I could sleep forever and get up at noon easily. Did that a whole bunch. And I've been where I slept on Wednesday night between Monday and Friday. That's the only night I slept the whole week. And did that for a month. And I've been in everything in between with sleep. And I want to say this. You will feel better with a little too little sleep than a little too much sleep. I want to say you will have back problems if you sleep too much. You're going to have back problems. It's the worst thing for your back. Activity. Go for a walk. You'll find your back gets better. You lay in bed too long, you'll suddenly find out you have back problems. Most people that sleep too much, they get grumpy. And the Bible says slothfulness casts into a deep sleep. I want to say this. The lazier you are, the more sleep you need. The lazier you are, the more sleep you need. Diligent people, they have something to do, and they get up, and they want to get up. And there's something to do, and they're ready to go. Now, it doesn't mean it's not hard to get up, but I'm saying they get up with a purpose, and they have something to live for. But people who have nothing to live for, it makes you need more sleep, because when you sleep, your body says, I'm going to lay in bed for 10 hours. I'm not really going to sleep very good. You understand very little of your sleep is actually what's resting you. the REM sleep is the deepest sleep. That's at rest you. Your body, when it knows it's not going to get as much sleep, goes into that quickly. When it knows it's going to be laying in bed or laying around all day, it doesn't go into it at all. And pretty soon you'll sleep 12 hours, 13 hours, and not be refreshed. Okay? Now, some people need 9 hours sleep. That's the way they're wired. Nothing wrong with that. If you're diligent the rest of the day, I think you're sleeping 12 hours a day, there's issues. I think if you sleep a whole night's sleep and then you just have nothing to do and you start taking naps in the day, I think you got to go do something. I think you got to go do something. Too much sleep is bad. We said too many rich things and too much sleep is not good for you. And it leads to poverty. And it leads to that. Number three, food. Oh, man. Baptist church preaching against too much food. That's heresy. Food. Proverbs chapter 12. I love food. Food's awesome. I have a good appetite. My kids have an appetite. My kids can go to town. Who was it? Somebody tried to see how many fruit. My kids eat fruit like candy. We bought 20. What was it? 25 pounds of grapes. 22 pounds of grapes. 22 pounds of grapes. Then we had a truck family over the house. It was gone before dinner. We can eat. Our family can, and because they're healthy and busy and you burn those calories. Food is good. I love food. I love it too much, I think. And Proverbs chapter 13, a man, God wants you to enjoy food. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of transgressors shall eat violence. And there's good by the fruit of your mouth. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14, it says, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. This is what you say here. And as I'm reading that, I'm just realizing that is what you say. Let me go to Proverbs chapter 30. There we go. Let's go back to where we started at. Proverbs chapter 30. Because God wants you to enjoy food. Food is good. Proverbs chapter 30. Our text, verse 8. Remove from me far from vanities and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. God wants us to enjoy it, but then he doesn't want us to have too much, lest I be full and deny thee. Let me take it Ecclesiastes, probably the book of let me say that. We'll get to that next point. In here we're supposed to eat, but watch how it says, lest I be full, verse 9, and deny thee. That's too much. The word gluttony is used a few times in the Bible, and it teaches us a little bit about it. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23, verse 2. And put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Verse 20. Be not among winebibbers or riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. So we see you're not supposed to be around people who eat too much, who are gluttonous and do that. Philippians 3:19 says, their God is their belly. Their God is their belly. We have gotten to the point we are blaming everything for obesity. Really are. I understand there's a few people with thyroid problems. I understand that. That's not most of the problems. And by the way, because they ate such junk when they were young, their body has adapted and rewired itself and everything. And our bodies process things wrong. Our bodies don't know where to store things. High fructose corn syrup, your body doesn't know what to do with. It stores as fat. and there's so much junk in our system. But I don't think it's just what we eat, although that's a big part of it. I think it's how much. I think it's an activity. I find busy people generally don't get obese. Generally. There's a few. Why? Because one, they don't have time to sit around and eat all day. They eat and they finish and they go. And two, they're burning calories. I just think that helps. Now, I'm not saying that. Listen, my body changed when I was 22. When I was 18, I could eat 25 burgers a day and 16 pops and 25 fries. I didn't gain a pound. I graduated high school 135 pounds. I'm 140 now, but our bodies change. We gain more weight and all that. So I understand that. I'm preaching this right after Thanksgiving. This is terrible, and we understand our bodies change. However, come on. Yeah, it's gravity. My barrel chest fell, and now it's a barrel belly. We eat too much. We eat too much junk. You know, it's a little bit hard to get obese if you eat really good food. It's pretty hard to get obese if you eat the right kind of food. You know, why do you drink Diet Coke? I know. That's not exactly what I'm talking about. So we've got to realize that we shouldn't eat too much. Eating, good, enjoy it. We at the men's retreat had ribs, and it was good. I think eating is good. Chew your food. Enjoy it. It's delicious. Have ice cream. Sherry bought me and my daughter Esther a smoothie from McDonald's. That was good, man. I don't know if it's half sugar. That was the best smoothie ever. But it was good. And enjoy things. Taste them. Enjoy them. Like them. Praise God for them. God gave us food to enjoy. You know what? Go to Old Country Buffet. But be able to walk out the door. Okay? Not waddle. Not, you know, turn sideways it's good. Go enjoy your food. I like going to Black Bear. Black Bear has big servings. I don't like going away hungry if I'm going to pay. I like being full. And enjoy it and like it, but don't be a glutton. The key is enough. Feed me the food convenient for me. But I wish our tongue would shut off when our stomach is full. Wouldn't that be nice? It didn't work that way, though. My stomach says, this is good. Man, I'm full, but it's so good. And I don't understand why I have an ice cream stomach that's separate from my regular stomach. I'm full. I can't eat anymore. Here comes ice cream. Oh, give me that. My ice cream stomach's still empty. And I don't understand it, but we eat too much. And it's just the way we are. So, good. Enjoy your food. It's good. It's a blessing. Feed me food convenient for me. Give me enough. I find if you stop, they say you take a deep breath when you're done. And I don't know why that is. People told me that. And people who know what they're talking about in the field, food, they'll say you will eat, and all of a sudden you'll go, and then you either go, start again, or you stop eating, and in about 5 minutes you will be very satisfied, and your stomach will start to shrink, and you won't eat as much, and your stomach is stretched. In most cases, our stomachs are stretched. So food's good, not too much. Next, enjoying your labor is good, but not too much. Enjoying your labor is good, but not too much. Proverbs chapter 12. This one's a little bit different. I've had people asking about this, about should I have pride in my work and things like that? And the answer is the word you say pride there, yes. Because that's not the bad pride of the Bible. It's a different thing. It's not what the Bible talks about, it's pride. Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 14, a man shall be satisfied by the good of the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. You get what you earn. It gets back to you. You earn good things, and those good things come back to you. Proverbs 14, and I think I already read this one. Verse 23, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. That's such a true verse. And in Ecclesiastes, chapter 3 and verse 13, I believe it is. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift of God. Okay, it's good. It's good to earn that stuff. It's good to enjoy that stuff. A couple of the verses in the New Testament, I'll just turn there real quickly and read them to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him rather labor, working with his hands, doing that which is good, that he may give to the people who need. And you can see that. And then one more verse is 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, talking about the blessing of working with your hands and the blessing of doing things. Verse 11, that ye may study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands, as we can manage it, you may walk honestly toward them without. So it's nothing, it's a gift of God to enjoy the fruit of your labor. You work hard and you go and you earn, you save and save and save and save and save, and you go out and bought the clothes you like. You go out and you look at your house and say, look, I paid for this house. If you pay for it, if it's paid for. And you say, I paid for this house, or I paid for this car. You know what? I worked hard to do this. I provided for my kids this thing. And it wasn't Visa and Bank of America and Citibank. And then provided for it, you didn't pay it back. And you worked hard and you earned something. You built that thing. Your hands labor. It's good to enjoy the work of your labor. And that's biblical and good. I think you ought to enjoy working hard. The Bible says there's in all labor there's profit. It's good for you to work. I think no matter what your job is, if you finish something and you say, you know what, I did a good job on that, enjoy it. It's a gift of God. Enjoy your work. I think you got to look at your work. I think you got to be proud of your work. That's not the pride of the Bible that's bad. I think you got to look at your kids. If you've worked hard and raised them right and they turn out good, enjoy the work of your labor. If you go out and you went out and you built something for a missionary, enjoy it. Enjoy the labor of your hands, but do not enjoy it too much where you become proud and arrogant and it ruins you. And just a good example of that is Nebuchadnezzar. And just Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar worked hard, conquered the world, and then became proud and arrogant in his conquering. Remember who you are. Remember your humble days. This is Daniel chapter 4, verse 30. It says, and the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon which I have built for the house of the great kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And while the words in the king's mouth the voice came down from heaven and condemned him. Why? Because he was arrogant. He enjoyed it too much. And I want to say this. People who get a little too proud of what they'd accomplished, and they might have accomplished something significant, oftentimes forget when they were down here, and they look down on people who aren't where they are. And even eventually, small people to them become stepping stones, because they are everything. And you become almost a god unto yourself, because you become too proud of what you've done and what you've accomplished. And you don't care who you step on after a while, and you're just incredible, and everyone ought to serve you. And those people become very spoiled and petty when they don't get their way. Why? Because they think everybody ought to bow down and give them everything they want in life. You've met those people, and they're accomplished people. And you know what? Credit to them. They worked hard many times. Many times they're successful businessmen. But you know what? After a while, they're being with them is untenable. They're just flat out arrogant. Why? Because they are a little too. They forgot that God gave them the gifts they have. They forgot that there was a day when they failed and they were poor and they messed up and they weren't so hot, and they needed a hand up and somebody helped them, and they forgot somebody helped them. And pretty soon it ruins them. So you don't enjoy it too much where it makes you arrogant. The word I want to leave you with tonight, the wisdom of too much, wisdom of rich, not too much rich things, not too much sleep, not too much food, and not too much enjoying your labor, is the word temperance, 1 Peter 1, 6. And add your faith temperance, and temperance, godly kindness. And then we see when the Bible talks about temperance, the word temperance, I don't need to turn to it, the word temperance literally means self-control. Self-control. I don't think that your appetite should tell you how much to sleep. How much sleep? How much to eat? I don't think your appetite should tell you how much to eat. I don't think your laziness or your flesh should tell you how much to sleep. I think you got to choose how much you sleep. The night before. Don't ask yourself in the morning when you wake up. You know what you say? One or two things. Snooze, snooze, snooze. Or two, you don't set the alarm because you don't want to get up. And you know what? I think you'd have more to life than not setting an alarm. Get up and pray. Get up and do jumping jacks. Go clean the fridge. It hasn't been clean in 16 years. I mean, go find something productive that is not penicillin. And go out and be productive and build something and work. And I just think that we ought to be temperate, which means self-control, which means I am going to... You know what? I know ice cream's in the freezer, but I've had it 3 days in a row. I know my favorite creamer's in there, but I've had 11 cups of coffee today. And because our eyes are never full, pretty soon you won't even enjoy coffee. Pretty soon it's just an addiction. And you don't enjoy it anymore. Remember when you used to enjoy coffee? Now it's just, where's my cup? That's not enjoying. Addiction is not enjoying. And when you eat until you're miserable and don't taste it and you forget to chew and you're inhaling your food, you don't enjoy it anymore. Go out, eat something. This is hard for Americans. This thing is so inconceivable. Eat something you don't like very much. You ever try to get people anymore to eat something they're not used to? Oh, I've never had that before. No. They won't eat anything outside their spectrum of what they're used to. Now, I understand. You have a health thing where if you eat certain things, you get very sick. I understand that. I get that. But most people are just like, I don't want to try. Eat it. You know what? If you eat something you don't like it, guess what? The next time you eat something you like, you'll like it. And sometimes, you know what? You just eat. Sometimes just eat bread and butter. Sometimes peanut butter and jelly and top ramen. You say, oh, top ramen. Doesn't matter what color the package is, it all tastes the same. I know that. I understand that. It's all the same flavor. I don't know what. It's all the same flavor. I understand that. Except for seafood. You ever tried seafood top ramen? Oh, my soul. But when you go and you say, I don't like it very much. But you know what? Tonight, when you go home and make your favorite, if you're a bachelor, it's macaroni and cheese instead of top ramen. If you're married, it might be something better. You have that good food. You'll say, man, this is so good. All I had today was peanut butter and jelly, and all I had for breakfast was a bowl of Cheerios. Do you know they still make cereal that's non-sugar? I tortured myself on Sunday. What did they eat on Sunday, Esther? Grape nuts. That stuff, you could pave your driveway with grape nuts. That stuff's tough. I mean, man, it's gross. It's alive and just keeps on. You eat and it just keeps on growing and there's more and more. And you eat, you're trying to catch up and it just keeps on growing. Where'd my milk go? And I ate it on Sunday. And you know what? The donut tasted good at church. But you know what? Sometimes eat bread and butter. And remember, people in the world are eating this right now. Sometimes eat bread. Do you know people in the world that like bread, have to eat bread? Sometimes just, and because you realize all of a sudden, I got it good when you pig out. But you don't pig out. You just eat a good serving of something really good. And you enjoy it. And you do this stuff. Enough, but not too much. That's wisdom. Father, thank you for the word of God tonight, Lord, as we study it. I pray we'd have enough and we'd enjoy and like these good things and have ice cream and have coffee and have blessings and get a good night's sleep when we're tired and get some rest and take a day off and all the good things of that, but not overindulge. Help us, Lord, to be temperate in all things and other passages we could turn to, Father. Help us to do these things and help us to decide on purpose to have good things, but not too much. Thank you for your word that teaches us this. And what a prayer. Feed me with food convenient for me. Not too much, not too little. Help us to do so. And help us to do wise. And Lord, this is hard because we have the capacity to get as much as we want and really get good things. Help us, please, to get to choose to not overindulge and choose not to be foolish and choose not to just do because we can. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm not going to ask you to come forward.